Starburns Audio, a podcast. A podcast network.
What's up, nerds? This is JMS. Listen, if you live in San Francisco or the surrounding Bay Area, you can come see Nicole and I live on December 1st at Cobb's Comedy Club. One night only. Get your tickets at cobbscomedy.com. We'll see you there. Enjoy this episode.
Hello!
And welcome to...
Two...
Filthy...
Nerds!
Because we're filthy.
And we're nerds!
And there's two of us. Hi, guys.
Hello. There sure is. We're so happy to be here. If you have not already left a rating and a review on the podcast, please do so. Anywhere you listen to this, iTunes or wherever else, subscribe. We love reading them. We're so thankful.
Yeah. Say something fun and delightful. Sorry.
You're already off to a high energy start. Nicole's literally laying down in a bed. So you know this is going to go well.
I'm like trying to sit up, but it's just so hard when you can lay down, you know?
Yes. The show is so thrilling that Nicole is folding herself into the covers for a full nap.
Listen, if there's one thing Vegas provides, it's very comfortable beds. Live from Vegas, it's me.
That's right. Nicole is live right now in Las Vegas. Keep an eye. She's at the Comedy Cellar at the Rio. So This will probably come out after you're already gone, but if you live in Vegas, you frequent Vegas, keep an eye on that calendar. She's there all the time. She's in the rotation. It's a fun time. Go see her. Go laugh.
Come and play.
Yes. And we are on our third to last movie of phase three. And I had not seen this. And holy shit. Captain Marvel.
I think Captain Marvel, I'm going to say it now, was my favorite of all the movies, I think.
Yeah. I didn't think that... anything would top Doctor Strange for me. Doctor Strange
and Guardians of the Galaxy, the first Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I just felt like I didn't know anything about Captain Marvel. And the way they did this was so well done. And, you know, it's a female superhero. I swear to God, Moki, if you start barking at someone out the window, I will kill you. Anyways, my dog loves to bark at people out the window. Hi, we're fine. I'm on task.
Does she just continually bark out the window?
Yeah. She's taken to posting up on the back of the couch to like poke her head out the window. And then I just came home today. She's in big trouble. One of the blinds is broken off. One of the long, skinny blinds.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what happened because it looks like it broke off halfway. So maybe it was already on its way out. It doesn't make sense how it broke off. Like, she's not big enough to have bitten it off, but it's just got like a jagged, and she's the only one who's ever in the window. So she got a scolding, and I'm going to feel bad if later Sam, who is staying here a couple nights, is like, oh, I had a horrible accident and I broke your blinds. I'm sorry. Cause I told Moki she was a bad girl and she could feel it. She's like, oh, I am in trouble.
Good. She probably did it. I doubt Sam did it. Sam would have taken ownership over it immediately.
Of course. He would have texted me panicking.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about bad girls. We're here to talk about good bad girls.
Yeah, she's the dopest of the bad girls.
Yeah, and it was in a way that, like, I feel like with the way culture's shifting to be very pro-woman in media, and they're doing give all women this and a woman in the part of that, it could have been very corny.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like it was. I thought she like nailed it.
I think Captain Marvel was always a woman.
No.
No?
The original Captain Marvel was a man, I think. And then they did a rendition. Yeah. Yeah. That soon changed in the characters. So it was the second iteration they made Captain Marvel a woman.
So they went with the second iteration.
Yeah. Which, like, they could have done either, but it's like, you know, and either one would have been true to some rendition of the comic books. And yeah. I like that they were like, you know what, we need more women in here. And I like that it was a real thing. They didn't just turn a male character into a woman, which fine if they want to going down the line, but they didn't need to. And they had a choice and they thought, you know what, it's just nice because, you know. It's nice.
I also really
was like,
loved the origin story of it coming from like her mentor was also a woman.
Yes. That it's all these very strong women. So, I mean, like, I guess let's just dive into it.
Well, it kicks off. The whole movie kicks off is in this world. The planet is called Hala.
Hala? Hala. She's a Hala back girl.
Hala bread.
So it starts in 95, which is a little, it's in the past of what we've been seeing in our timeline.
And I love that it's a 95 because as a 90s girl, I loved all the throwback, everything. She's part of an empire called the Kree Empire.
Yeah. So they're like a people out in space.
They're a people on this planet.
We meet her. You know, it's not, I mean, we know it's her because we know what we're watching, but like we meet a Star Force member named Verse, who has severe amnesia. She has no recollection of her past, and she has some weird recurring nightmare involving this older woman who she also sees when she goes into, there's a way to check into what they call the Supreme Intelligence or something.
So she's her Supreme Intelligence as well.
Yeah. Cause it's, I guess how it is that this is sort of a Supreme Intelligence. You go into a simulation where it communicates to you using someone who you would look at as a role model, but she keeps seeing this woman and she's like, I don't know who the fuck this is.
This woman is played by none other than the incredible, the effervescent, the ethereal Annette Bening.
Oh, yeah. No, so amazing to see Annette Bening in this role.
Such a great role for her.
Oh, yeah. She just is a powerful character. I mean, like, in everything she does. So this was cool to be like, oh, what a great selection on their part.
Truly.
Because they could have gone so many directions, but...
And then the guy who she's like...
Getting trained under.
Commandor, and she's like training under him. He keeps telling her to keep her emotions in check.
Her commandor?
His name is... His commandor?
Commandor?
I
you say commandor? Her commandor. Is that a type of bird?
You're thinking of the Commodores. I'm crying right
with
now.
With Richie, what's his name? Lionel Richie? Well, we are a mess.
Played by Jude Law, the hot sex.
What a babe. There's this overarching theme of everyone teaching her she needs to keep her emotions in check. So you get this idea of like, she's really powerful, but her emotions get the best of her, which is like, yeah, what woman doesn't have that problem? Hello? Yeah,
and everyone's, and you know, ultimately, as we'll see, the
emotions are a gift.
Just men, it's just the men trying to hold the women down.
Yeah. Classic fucking men. But anyways, we go very quickly from her in this sort of training session type thing where it's really impressed upon her. Your emotions are an issue. You need to keep them in check. To immediately they're in some sort of undercover operative trying to...
I love how quickly this moved into action.
Yeah. It's like set up really quickly. Here's a person. She doesn't know who she is. She has an issue controlling her emotions. Now let's go into.
There wasn't a whole lot of like establishing the world. They got to it real quick. They established the world and the backstory and everything really quickly. And then they were like, now onto the conflict.
Immediate action.
I love because if there's nothing I hate more, it's how long they take to set up the backstory of the fucking new worlds we're going into.
Oh, yeah. There's always like many eons ago before the crap.
Many eons ago, there were these guys and then there were these guys and then there were these guys and then there were these guys. It's just like they immediately were like, listen, this is the world. And then there's this group of Skrulls. There's a conflict with them. They're shape-shifting aliens and they're at war with the Krees. Boom. Right into it.
Yeah. So it's like her and her, you know, group of Kree war people are supposed to rescue one of their undercover guys who got captured while infiltrating. And they show up to this planet and they end up getting ambushed by a bunch of Skrulls.
And they capture her.
Yeah.
And they probe her memory. She gets probed.
Yes. Which, by the way, the probing was not what I thought a probing would be like. They've got her hooked up to this machine with like a hat on her head. She's all pulled apart like in those, in the space camp things where they like flip you upside down.
The multi-axis chamber.
Yes. I knew you knew what I was talking about. The thing that you shit on and got sent home.
I wasn't even allowed to go on it because I got sent home before that point.
You were too high of a risk.
Dude.
All right. Who shit in the anti-gravity chamber? There's just poop floating through the air.
So funny.
Nicole.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, nothing went in her butt that we saw.
Nothing went
camera.
In her butt. I was disappointed because you know what? If there's one thing I love, it's a good anal probing.
Ah, who doesn't? Me. I'm so scared of it.
So they probed her memory.
And she's getting all these little nuggets of memories from Earth. And she's like, this can't be right. And Like, what is, she doesn't know what's going on. And they're trying to, like, it was really cool, the memory probing, because they were like in her memories, stopping and zooming in.
Yeah, it was
on cool. little things in the background, trying to see what's going on. Just really cool. And they're extracting all this information and sort of re-bringing up this woman she keeps seeing. And she's like, who the fuck is this?
And they zoom in on her name tag and they figure out the woman's name in her memory. And at that point, she's able to break free from this hold they had on her. That's how fucking strong she is, that they had her fully locked down in these like metal muffs, because that's where her power comes from, her hands. So they had her hands fully engulfed and she still beat everybody's ass, basically with two hands tied behind her back.
Yeah, because she like heats up her hands and it breaks the things that she's trapped in off of the giant machine, but she still has, yeah, it's metal mittens, essentially.
Metal mittens, yeah.
So and she doesn't have like, fingers, but she's just beating the shit out of people.
Yeah, and still kicking everybody's ass and eventually is able to get free. But she's got this name of this agent in her head. Then she's like, okay, the Skrulls are looking for this woman. She's on Earth. So she gets into an escape pod and then crash lands in Los Angeles.
Yeah. What luck that she happens to crash land right where the attention of the crash landing, which I, by the way, again, to go back to the 90s stuff, love that she crashed into a Blockbuster.
I mean, couldn't have crashed into a more nostalgic place.
Yeah. And she immediately goes out and there's like a security guard in a fucking Geo Metro or something, just like a mall lot security guard.
Yeah. And I love that she was like, who are you with? And he's like, mall security.
Yeah. And she's like, where would I go for communications equipment? And he points at a Radio Shack.
Yeah. And she's like, thank you. And then just goes over there and robs the Radio Shack.
Is fucking
and then the next
wild.
Scene is the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents showing up because the guy calls it in and is like, yeah, a woman just crashed into a Blockbuster and is now super strength breaking into
everything ever. Yeah. And she's on she got some materials to apparently enable a cell phone to try to a payphone. This is 95, a payphone to try to contact her commander on another fucking planet.
Yeah, and she gets through to him, which I'm like, damn, this bitch is good. But at that moment that she gets through to him, S.H.I.E.L.D. shows up and we meet young Nick Fury and young Phil Coulson.
Dude, wild seeing Nick Fury young.
Nick Fury with a hairline and two eyes.
Two
unbelievable.
Eyes. Unfucking believable. It was wild. It took me a long time to realize. I'm like, I mean, I know he looks young, but something else is different. And then I was like, oh, he has both of his eyes.
Both of his eyes. And I love that they establish in this movie, like why he ends up looking the way he does. That's one of the things I like about the throwback movies where it goes back in time to establish some stuff.
That like at this point, we've just accepted as a thing. Like I think the first movie you go, oh, he has an eye patch. And then you just go, oh, he's the guy with the eye patch, whatever.
He's the guy with the eye patch and the scratch on his eye. Like that's just him.
You just don't think of it. And that was such a fun, we'll get to that because it's so
and
fun.
And while they're there, the Skrulls show up and they yeah. shapeshifted. By the way, I thought the scene was so funny. When
well, they're
all
condescending
the Skrulls-
her before they show up, you know, and she's like trying to have a serious conversation with them about Skrulls
oh,
and
yeah.
like who
so
she
funny.
Is.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. And,
and
like,
they just think she's
right,
a nut
right.
job.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, okay, she's for real. I loved when the Skrulls landed on the beach and they see the beach people, like the surfers coming in and out, and they like transform into all the surfers.
Oh, yeah. And then one of them transforms into the same surfer and they're like,
and he's like
I
he's
already
like,
have this one.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Love that.
So funny.
So the Skrulls are there. They attack her and now the chase is on. And first of all, loving the chase where you see all of the vehicles from like the 80s, early 90s, just an old police cruiser.
Amazing.
They did use the modern train line for LA, which was not there then. Which
oh,
was,
it was not there in the 90s?
I don't believe so. What they were specifically, there was a train line. It just didn't, I don't believe it looked like that, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But still, it was fun to see all of the LA locations. Just a really good chase scene.
Oh, such a good chase scene with like, so she gets on this train chasing these Skrulls or yeah, like chasing the Skrulls and they keep shapeshifting into different people on the train and trying to blend in.
Oh, that was so funny. They shapeshift into the old lady.
I love when they turn into an old lady And she
starts beating the shit out of the old lady.
Yeah. And everyone is like, oh my God, trying to protect the old woman. And the old woman also like fires back and is beating the shit out of her. But people are still, even after watching this old lady fucking slam down, they're like, get away from the old lady.
Yeah. She's like doing twirls on the pole, like kicking her with both feet.
Yeah. It's so, it was very,
that was great. That was a, I feel like that must've been such a fun, you know, it's like every time I watch movies, I'm always like, fight scenes look like so much fun. Like as an actor, I wonder like at what point the actor's like, this scene's too involved for me. You've got to get a stunt double.
Yeah.
But like they get to like have fun.
This was like action Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes. It's action Mrs. Oh, fuck. Mrs. Doubtfire. What a fucking movie.
The greatest movie of all time, possibly.
Anywho. So what, well, one of them drops this little, like, it looks like a giant thumb drive.
Yeah.
And it's something that contains Verz's memories that they had extracted.
Yeah. And she manages to grab that before he, before Fury ends up killing a Skrull who's impersonating Coulson. There's this moment where we're in the car and he gets a phone call and it's Coulson. He's like, hey, you left me back at the place. And he's
like sitting next to Coulson, which was the
Skrull. Dude, when Coulson, he fucking like turns into the train.
Oh yeah. And he just, what a gamble
that he, well, he's just like, I'm like, was he willing to die or was he like, I'll be fine. And he's just overly confident. Cause that's fucking wild.
And that's how he fucks up his eye, by the way. So this was the beginning of the mystery of why he only has one eye.
Yeah. Wait.
He fucks his eye up in that train, in that crash.
Oh, I thought it was all from the Flurkin.
No, because then the cat scratches his eye.
Oh, man.
And then he gets a scratch on his eye. We're going to take a break, you guys, and we will be back with more of the insanity and the chase scene. And
just everything.
One of our favorite Marvel Empire movies.
Yeah. Back. All right. So they just had this crazy chase scene. Fury has informed his boss at S.H.I.E.L.D. like, this is what's up. But unbeknownst to Fury, who he thinks is his boss is actually another Skrull, Talos, disguised as his boss. And he's like, hey, I want you to work alongside her and just keep an eye on her. Like, let's see what she's getting into. And you like, you keep tabs. So they end up going together to this.
Well, she gets this word Pegasus.
Yeah, that's one of the things she got from the initial memory extraction. Or was it in the second memory extraction? When she,
I think it's when she went into her little thumb drive thing. Oh, yeah.
Isn't she at like a public library on a computer? Like typing and trying to figure out how it works. So funny watching someone use a 95 computer who's not of Earth. And she types it and she gets the word Pegasus. Just a couple little more like clue things.
Yeah. It leads her to this Air Force base in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah. And her and Fury, he uses his S.H.I.E.L.D. access to get them in. And they approach someone who's working there and they're like, hey, we're looking for information on this Project Pegasus.
Yeah. And they're like, we're looking for Wendy Lawson. And they're like, huh? And that kind of sets off some bells, I guess.
Yeah. Because come to find out, this is a project that was deeply buried.
Deeply buried. There was a crash and everything.
So the people working there take them like, oh, right this way. But they're putting them in a room like, this is fucking suspect.
Well, they put them in this room that's like a giant filing cabinet of stuff.
Yeah.
And they find the report about everything that went down, the secret report. And she discovers at this point that she was the pilot that crashed with Dr. Wendy Lawson.
Yeah. So Dr. Wendy Lawson apparently was testing an experimental light speed engine. You know, and there was a, I think by then we heard her say the quote of like, to end wars.
Yeah. So that actually, we skipped that part because the Skrulls, when they were doing the memory extraction, they were like, we need to get this information because we need to get this information about light speed travel.
Yeah, they're trying to get to where the information or what the, either the information or the tool that facilitates light speed. They're interested in that. That's what they want, light speed, basically.
Yeah.
And the Skrull being the enemy of the Kree people, she's like, I can't let them get their hands on it. et cetera, et cetera. And come to find out, before she ever awoke with this, like, what she doesn't remember is that she lived on Earth and was working alongside this woman who she's always seen in her brain.
So Dr. Wendy Lawson, she was an Air Force pilot. Verse was also an Air Force pilot. But this was a time in the Air Force when women couldn't fly. So Verse was having these female pilots, Verse and this other girl.
So she's now realizing there is a whole background of what the fuck, I was on Earth, what's going on? Because there's a, yeah. They find a file where she's in a picture and she like zoom in. You can't do that.
You zoom in. But I love that you did the movement, by the way. And she zoomed in and just
with her eyeballs by pulling it closer to her eye. And it's like, holy fuck, that's her in the background.
And so now everything's kind of like starting to pop up a little bit. She's like starting to like get these pieces of the past. And she's like, what is going on?
And fucking Fury, who is acting like he's her partner in this,
calls the Shield, who is secretly a Skrull, Talos.
Yeah, who's been compromised. And he's like, this is our location.
Gives a location. And then he shows up. And then Fury figures out what's going on.
Oh, here's, I love this, because when they started, when Fury's getting to know Verse, and they're just talking about themselves, and he goes, oh, everyone calls me Fury. And she's like, nobody ever calls you Nick or Nicholas. And he's like, nobody calls me that. And he gets in the elevator with his boss, who he doesn't know at the time is a Skrull in disguise. And the boss was, thank you very much, Nicholas. And he like takes note of it. And then he goes, all right, let's do the, he makes up some move.
Oh yeah. Let's do the thing we did in like Hungary.
Yeah. I thought it was Cuba. I don't know what it was.
Whatever. It's some city.
Yeah. Granada. It doesn't matter. But he's like, yes, just like we did there. And that confirms like, oh, okay, this is a fucking Skrull. He doesn't know anything, because they can't tap into anything but their recent memories is the thing that we learned, that Skrulls can access only recent memories, but they won't know you're deep. And that's how you can test. Yeah. Someone, you can like ask some dark, like deep questions. So he's now like, oh fuck, I made a mistake. We're being swindled. And he helps her escape.
And they get on a plane and they escape.
By the way, with
the cat Goose, which I love.
Who we saw in when the Skrulls were extracting her memories initially. There was a little thing.
She had an interaction with the cat, and the cat was like, It was the doctor, Wendy Lawson's cat. And she was like, oh, my cat really likes you.
Yeah, named Goose, which I have to assume was supposed to be a reference to Top Gun, although I don't
know. Yep, absolutely.
Because that probably came out, what year did Top Gun come out? Probably in
92 was Top Gun, 92 or 93.
And they were Air Force people. That's so funny.
Yeah.
So when they get in this jet to get away, Goose is a stowaway. And it's like, oh my God, immediately, how fucking cute. Also, what an old cat. But they fly to Louisiana to meet a woman named Maria Rambeau, because
she is listed in the file that they found as a witness, or she was the last person in the file.
Yeah. She's the last person that saw Verse and Lawson alive. So they're like, this woman surely will have some type of information for us.
I love this scene when she arrives at Rambeau's place, and her daughter is like, her daughter Monica is so excited to see her. She's like, Aunt Carol.
Yeah. Like, she has no recollection of this woman. And these people are like, what the fuck? This is some woman that they thought was dead.
Well, then hot on their heels. Is that the expression?
Hot on their tail?
Hot on their heels?
Talos, the Skrull,
arrives next.
But he
shows up as himself.
Yes, he comes in and he's like, this is who I am. I showed up as me. That's how you know you can trust me. And they look out the window, and
one of the Skrulls is disguised as Maria Rambeau
hanging
with
out
her
daughter in the yard. Because Maria Rambeau's in the room with them. He's like, okay, well, you know. They mean no.
If you're so harmful, why are you doing that? And he's like, yeah, good point.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, just listen. And his version of what's going on is that the Skrulls are actually refugees looking for a new home. He says that Lawson, this woman who was working on light speed with Verse before she lost her memory, is also known as...
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Marvell and is a renegade Cree scientist whose engine is supposed to help them escape the Cree Reach. So, holy fuck, Lawson wasn't just a human on Earth. She was also a Cree, but she was going behind the backs, according to him, of the Cree Empire, because she realized that they were oppressing these people.
And Talos is like, listen, we have a recording from this thing called a black box from the plane crash.
And Maria Rambeau's like, they said that that was destroyed. Like, she's like, what the fuck? You have the black box?
I don't understand why they would have covered this whole thing up.
Because?
Like, I would have understood why the Cree was covering it up, but why, you know, the US was covering it up makes no sense.
I think it's because they didn't know what the fuck had just happened and it was so crazy. And I think the US covers up alien activity because they're afraid of, which I don't know how I feel about this, but they're afraid if people found out or thought there was alien life out there, it would create like pandemonium and fear.
Yeah. Are you a big alien person, by the way? Do I know?
I don't like dig into any of the conspiracies and stuff, but like the amount of things that people have shared of like articles where stuff about UFOs has been buried, I'm open to it. Like, and it wouldn't surprise me. But I also like when people go like, aliens are going to attack us. It's like, no, we're like a field of cows to a higher civilization of people. Hopefully. Yeah. I hope and pray that if there are aliens, they are more evolved emotionally. And they just like, not everyone needs to conquer things. We're like dumb animals.
Oh my God. And I think the fear is, what if aliens are Thanos people where they're like, let's get rid of half of them.
Well, Godspeed. I hope they do it with a snap instead of like a camp. Yeah. Burn us alive.
Where they probe us.
Yeah. Probe me, daddy.
And in the fun way too.
Yeah. So they play the recording from the black box, and as they're playing it, all of a sudden she verses like remembering everything. And you hear in the memory, Yanrog, her mentor from Kree, who's been like, you got to control your emotions, who's like the person she trusted the most, kill Lawson.
Kill Lawson.
To prevent her from destroying the engine, because she was about to destroy the engine before Kree could recover it.
And then Danvers, which she ends up destroying it. And then all of the energy from the core is absorbed into her body.
Like, she was only just sort of, in the actual state of the event, she just had this information kind of plopped on her, like, there's alien life, they're bad, we can't just get into the wrong hands. So when this guy kills Lawson, and he's about to take it, she's just like, she does what any good American does, I will shoot the machine to prevent it from being compromised. And rather than ricochet a bullet, it's an insane amount of energy.
And that's where her superpower is from. And then in the process, she also loses her whole fucking memory.
Yeah. And since she then became essentially the source of the energy, Yanrog's like, well, I got to fucking take her back.
Yanrog is like, well, we need all of this energy that's in her. And then that begins the manipulation process of her and him having to, like, you know, the whole, like, you need to keep your emotions under control. And they put this, you see it at the beginning, they put a little like chip thing behind her ear. That's supposed to dilute what we come to understand is diluting her powers.
And it's kind of I think it's a control mechanism too. Like, remember in, I don't know which movie was it where?
Oh yeah. It was,
with Jeff Goldblum where Hulk and they put it on the back of Thor. Was that one of the Avengers or was that Thor? Was that Ragnarok?
I think that was Ragnarok. Was it? It was good though. It was Ragnarok. You're right.
It seems like
yes, it was Ragnarok because that's when Taika played the character's voice.
That's right.
Yeah. So it was Ragnarok. But yeah. So that controlling device. So it's like, yeah, that's a way to keep people under control. So now it's like we're starting to see all of these things and like put all these pieces together.
Yeah.
So
real weird.
Danvers. Carol.
Talos, Fury, Maria, and Goose, who Talos, by the way, is afraid of. They go like, it just looks like a cat to us. And he goes, that's a Flerken. Get it away from me.
So funny.
Which like immediately I knew, I hadn't seen this, but I was like, oh, that's going to be a thing. There's no way that he just says that and he's wrong and just a crazy person. That I cannot wait to see how that plays out.
And it played out, by the way, it you know, it's like, there's always like little Easter eggs throughout all of these movies that are fun.
Yeah.
That one was a real fun one.
That's like, if I ever have a cat, I want to name it Flerken.
Yeah, truly the best name for, I mean, just any animal. We should all get animals and name them Flerken.
It's just really cute and fun. So they, in the course of listening to this, you know, retained audio from the crash, they're able to get coordinates that...
For Lawson's lab.
Yeah. So apparently she like invisibility cloaked a ship, essentially. It's a cloaked ship. And okay, now it's not like physically an invisibility cloak. It's just like a button has been hit or whatever. But they use the coordinates to find this cloaked ship. And that's where not only is the Tesseract aboard, which is the real source of her engine that was, you know, powering the light speed and stuff, there's a ton of scrolls hidden on there. And when they go find the ship.
And in their scroll, it's Talos's family.
Yeah. He sees for the first time, like his wife and his kid. And they're like, she told us not to send out any signals. Like they hadn't seen each other in years. And he's just wondered where his family was gone. When he's a refugee who like is part of a race who's being obliterated by the Kree. So he probably just assumed them dead and vice versa. So it's this really touching moment until fucking
Yanrog arrives. And Yanrog doesn't know at this point. I think he finds out as soon as he gets there, but he doesn't know that Carol has officially figured out that he's a piece of shit.
Yeah. He doesn't know. He thinks he's like, I'm just going to rescue her. We'll go back to the Supreme Intelligence. And he detains Verse and makes her interface with the Supreme Intelligence, which of course comes on screen as Lawson. but she's having a conversation with the Supreme Intelligence and basically like,
gets this scene was clarity. Pretty dope. He has her like tied up in this, like some sort of like magical ivy that's like holding her down.
And she's like kind of passed out. Like she's just in the Supreme Intelligence. She's just like trapped in essentially a form of future shackles. Like she can't move.
And I think they were kind of like trying to like take away her power. Was that what they were doing? With
they were like detaining her.
Yeah.
And she realizes when she's in there with the Supreme Intelligence that the implant that's on the back of her neck, which by the way, she was told she was given to give her powers. It's actually limiting
her power.
And she's inside this simulation and pulls it out. And everyone on the outside, there's a bunch of guards just watching her body there. And they're like, oh my God, I think she's trying to break out of the intelligence, which like, it's very clear that that's not a thing that anyone's aware can be done. Yeah. Like that's not, you can't, you're locked in. But all of a sudden she's glowing and like,
oh yeah. She like starts levitating. She's at full force. She becomes like she has the power of a fucking jet engine now. Like she is a powerful engine. Like it's wild.
It's fucking insane. So she
starts beating the shit out of literally everyone. There is a level of excitement that I get where I'm like, if I would have seen this when I was a kid, I probably would have been more violent in school.
That's so funny because she's so cool.
She's so powerful that I'm like, oh my God. Had this been when like people were like mean to me in school, I would have been like, I would have channeled her, especially for the fact that I had like boy short hair at one point. I would have been like,
you didn't have the short hair in this movie though.
No,
by the way, that was never explained in the movie.
I think at the last season she cut her hair. At the end of the first episode, she cut her hair off.
First movie? I didn't.
At the end of the first movie,
I just didn't realize that.
I think she cut her hair off at the end of the first movie or like something. Anyhow. All I know is I would have been like, she's a bad bitch. I am her. She is me. And then I probably would have tried like beating the shit out of more people.
Yeah, me too. Was definitely... And then I would have became a bigger dork because I would have been like, ha, ha.
Yes, a 1,000%. 1,000%.
What are you doing?
You would have been like, I'm Captain Marvel. And people would have been like, you're a fucking loser.
Just holding out your hand like you think power is going to shoot out of it. And they're like,
oh my God, could you imagine like just being a little kid and thinking you had that level of power and how good that would feel as a kid who like, where you like, don't feel understood. You don't feel like you fit in. This is why I love superheroes because it's like for kids who don't have like strong role models in their life, superheroes are the ultimate role models.
The ultimately unattainable, but great role
but like models. Dope role models. Like it's like somebody, you know, it's like my dad was my first superhero for sure.
Yeah.
So it's like, had I not had like the best dad ever, I would have been like Captain Marvel, close second.
Yeah, but someone would have had to introduce you to it and you'd need a dad that's decent for that. I also think that like in a way, and this is really dorky, but on a very, very small scale, comedians and entertainers, I think comedians specifically, probably just because I'm a comedian, not because that's an absolute truth, do a form of this. Like the way you put out energy when you're on stage is putting out like a shield of sorts.
Yes.
Which,
good point.
If you're good at it, could be used as a weapon, emotionally speaking.
An emotional weapon.
But it could also be used as a device for laughter or healing or whatever. But it kind of pushes other people. You put out so much energy, you're kind of protecting yourself from absorbing everyone's shit in a weird way.
Yeah.
It's obviously not remotely as cool as just fucking blowing people into a wall with your hands.
Here's one thing. So the Tesseract, they're trying to figure out where to put the Tesseract because Danvers now has it. And she's battling and she's like giving it to Fury. And Fury's like, I don't know where to put it, blah, blah, blah. And then Rambo's trying to fly herself, Fury, and the Skrulls to Earth along with Goose. And we find out Goose isn't really a cat. He's a Flerken.
Yeah, it's so funny. They do a scan where they're like, beep, 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 beep. They're like identifying the threats of people and they scan over Fury and it's like Earth male, little to no threat. And then they go, they scan over Goose and they're like, Flurkin, very dangerous.
Oh, so funny. But they don't know where to put the Tesseract. And that's when the Flurkin comes out. First of all, the cat scratches Flurry's eye. And then Flurkin turns into this tentacle, slight octopus.
Yeah, like they all come out of his face. It's just like tentacles everywhere. And it like
swallows up the Tesseract.
Wild.
And then just goes back to normal being a cat and is like licking its chops. Yeah, that was just a really great fucking reveal.
It was just fucking wild to finally see like what that was. It also ate a bunch of the Krees that were pursuing them in attack and just is like fucking shit up. People are afraid of the Flurkin. They're like, woo! It's really funny watching the aliens.
Fear the Flurkin. Fear the Flurkin.
It sounds like somebody trying to, it sounds like branding for a horrifically scary vagina.
I can't believe the Flurkin didn't have its own spinoff yet.
I hope it does. At least as like an animated, that'd be great. Listen, I think we should take a break. We're going to come back and finish the movie. We're back. The Tesseract has been swallowed. Fighting is ongoing. Rambo.
Tesseract. Fury now officially has no left eye.
Yeah.
He has a cat scratch.
He got scratched by the cat. And he's like, it's just a little scratch. And the scrolls are like, no. Like they are like, oh, you're fucked.
You're fucked. So we now have the backstory behind Fury's eye completely.
Yeah. Rambo on the way down back to Earth. She's being chased and manages to shoot the pursuing person right out of the sky. It's cool too, because the woman chasing her is a Kree warrior, but she's a woman, very strong character. So it's these like woman versus woman, which is cool to see. And she shoots her down. And versus Carol, I guess, chases after Yanrog. And this is the point where she really learns. And then we see the fucking capability of Captain Marvel's abilities. Because
She basically turns into a human missile.
Yeah, because Yanrog tells them to he radios up to space. It's not, I don't think they think of it as radio. But he's like, unleash the missile. So basically he's willing to blow up his own team. Because he had called in him. He'd called in the like guy in charge had been like, we've got a threat, we need backup kind of thing. And that guy's like, fuck it, just blow up the whole thing. And so as missiles are fired at Earth, this guy Ronan, who's sort of the overseer, that's like, if you tell me there's a Skrull, we will be there, we will eliminate them. They're scum, they're, you know, parasites. He's a space Nazi, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He fires a crazy amount of missiles at Earth.
And she takes care of all of them.
Flies up, grabs the closest one, turns it around, or sends it back using her
And then explodes it into all the other missiles.
So they fucking explode in the sky, fuck up some of Ronan's ships, and Ronan pieces the fuck out.
Yeah.
They're like, oh shit.
Yeah, she like hovers in front of their spaceship and is like, bye, you gotta go.
Yeah, and when she gets back down to Earth, she fucking beats the shit out of Yanrog, but instead of killing him, she has the opportunity to. She puts him back in...
His pod,
types in the coordinates, and he's like, I can't go back empty-handed, like, without the Tesseract. Mm-hmm. She's like, you're gonna fucking have to figure it out. Good luck. Like, he's like, I can't go back. He basically is like, oh, they're gonna fucking beat the shit out of me or kill me or whatever. And she's like, I don't know, you figure it out. Kind of just is like, don't fuck with me. Gives him a big warning.
And sends him on his way.
Just so funny. He's all fucked up, just floating away to space. Which also I thought about, like, is that pod just going to crash land into the planet?
No, because she sparked power into it.
Oh, yeah. I just thought that, like, is it going to know to autopilot, or is he just going to, like, beep?
I think she put it into autopilot. She basically sparks life back into it because she has the power to do that.
That's so fucking insane.
So this was the part where I was like, okay, well, now what do we do with these fucking Skrulls? They're just floating around in space.
Yeah.
In an old spaceship.
Yeah. So what did they do? Wait.
She brings them down to Earth.
Oh, that's
so
right.
She says, listen, Fury, you're going back down to Earth. I've got work to do in the galaxy.
She's going to help them find a new home.
She's like, here's your pager that I took away from you earlier. She modifies it. She's like, you can use this to contact me in case of an emergency.
Which we saw. Wait,
when in the flashback, in the flash forward, in one of the mid-credit scenes, they had found the pager device.
That's right. Was it right after the snap when he?
Yeah, that was right after the snap when they were
he like did it right before he snapped away.
Yeah.
And we saw that, I think, at the end of Infinity Wars. We see him do something right before he like dusts away.
Yeah.
Which I love that she's going to try to make like, she's like, I'll find Skrull Israel. Like, good luck with that out in the galaxy. Fuck.
Yeah.
He's got a little 1995 Word doc up, and we had seen it say Protectors Initiative. And
he deletes it.
He deletes and puts Avengers, which is her old call sign from when she was
a pilot.
She was Carol Avenger, whatever the fuck her last
Danvers.
Name. Danvers, that's right. And you're like, oh fuck, the Avengers were named after her.
I love her character so much.
It's fucking wild.
It's crazy. But I loved, by the way, the scene, the last scene in the movie when they're at Maria's farm in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And they're just all sitting there and the cat's like on the ground, just hanging out with them. Like, it's just, what a good ending. You know, I don't think movies need to have happy endings or solid endings, but like, goddamn, does it feel good in a time, you know, we're watching this in a very like cynical, you know, shit is going wrong kind of time. And it's just so great.
To have that refreshing.
Yeah, just to have a happy fucking ending.
Sometimes things do work out. Like sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can go home. Because there's that saying like you can't go home again. Which, is that even a saying or is it just a thing that country songs say is a saying? I don't know.
I think it's a country song thing because I don't know that saying.
Because there's songs that are like, who says you can't go home? And I'm like, no one has ever said that.
No one said that. No one, you know who said that? Your boss, when you asked for break time for the holidays and they're like, no, you can't go home. We need people here. That's the only person who said you can't go home.
Yeah. And that's such a fucking theme in country music. And it's like, nobody said that. Shut the fuck up and go home.
You should make a song that's called No One Said You Can't Go Home.
Yeah, no, I know. Someone in the chat, by the way, if you wanted to be in our chat, patreon.com/twofilthynerds said Jennifer Nettles and John Bon Jovi is the song I was saying. Who says you can't go home? But there's also Miranda Lambert song that's like, I know they say you can't go home again. And it's like a repeated thing. And it's like, who is this person who's like, you don't come around here no more. You don't come home. Fucking shut the fuck up.
I can and I will.
Ken and I will.
Anywho, so that's the end of the movie. Then there's the mid-credit scene, which we just talked about, where they found the transmitter and then when they were looking for Fury.
Yeah, and it's got Captain America, Black Widow, James Rhodes. He's there, Bruce Banner, talking about it, and she appears in the mid-credit
scene. And you're like, she's a bad bitch. And in that scene, she had the short hair. That's where she had the short
hair. Yeah, because it's the future. So I think maybe that was their way. That's right, I forgot. Yeah. That's their way of being like, we are more than 10 years in the future. This point.
Well, as soon as she has a new haircut, 20. We know it's the future. That's how they indicate it's the future.
She got old, so she cut up her hair like older women do.
Speaking of which, I feel like I should be cutting my hair off soon.
Are you going to cut your hair off?
I don't know. I found this picture of me with short hair and bangs, and Chelsea Skidmore was like, you should do that again. And of course, ever since she said I should do that, I'm like, maybe I should do that.
You can pull off short hair.
Whatever. Anywho. My favorite scene is there's one more mid-credit scene.
I love this. In
Nick Fury's office, Goose, the cat, jumps on the desk and vomits up the Tesseract.
Yeah, he's just like, he does the very classic cat, like the cat.
By the way, I know it's so painful for that to happen to them, but there is something adorable about a cat or dog vomiting. It really is just so cute.
I just like, when I see cats doing it, I am shocked that they don't shit themselves.
Every time. Oh yeah. By the way,
amount of like wrenching they're doing is like wrenching. I don't know.
Wrenching. By the way, when I had COVID and I was vomiting harder than I've ever vomited in my life. By the way, I don't think I ever told you, but one of the times when I was vomiting, one of our neighbors was bringing me Pedialyte because I told her I was really sick, and she came to the door when I was vomiting in the toilet upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I ran into her, and I had never met her in person. I'd only met her on text. I ran into her and she was like, I heard you vomiting through the door. She's like, and I have never heard anything like that in my life. And I was like, oh my God, I can't even imagine how loud I have to have been that I was vomiting in the bathroom with a closed door. She could hear me through the closed door.
Through the other door. That's through so the other door. Wild.
And she's like, I felt so bad for you.
It was really ugly. And I was like, I don't know how to help her.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was vomiting, but I'm surprised I never shit in my pants because I was vomiting like that cat.
Yeah, and it's you. So like sometimes the wind blows and you shit in your pants. So
yeah, and I shit in my pants so easily. The fact that I didn't shit in my pants when I was vomiting is huge.
It's God giving you a break.
So this got me super pumped for Endgame because I knew she was going to be back for Endgame. And
just knowing like, okay, she's alive for Endgame. We got that confirmed.
But knowing like, okay, she's alive for Endgame. She's literally the dopest of the superheroes, period.
She's the most badass.
The most powerful. So now I'm like, oh, Endgame, it's going to be lights out. If they can figure out how to turn back time, they have to reverse the snap. But if they can figure out how to do that.
Wait, did you think that before you saw Endgame?
Yeah, that's that. I mean, in my mind, I was like, well, the only way to get the world back to normal is they're going to have to reverse the snap.
Huh.
Wait, how did you think it was going to happen?
I don't know, because I didn't see Infinity Wars before Endgame. I had already seen Endgame. So that was my first time watching Infinity Wars, but I can't.
Yeah, I just figured they had to reverse what was done.
Somehow go back in
because
time.
I knew one of the stones in the gauntlet was
the time stone.
The time stone. So I was like, oh, well.
Because they tried to do it. Yeah, I mean, he did it, which is what led to the snap. He like went with the crushed one from Vision's head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's like, yeah, the answer wouldn't be that they just go, oh, well, I guess we just move forward with everyone gone. Anyway, that's that.
That's that. I got to be honest. I'm just going to give a little taste. I didn't love Endgame. But anywho, we'll go to it.
Well, tune in to the next episode to find out.
Tune in to the next episode so you can find out why I fucking hated Endgame.
You hated Endgame? Okay.
Didn't love it.
All right.
Didn't love it.
All right. We'll leave a rating and a review and make it about the podcast, not just about the fact that Nicole has an opinion about Endgame that you may or may not disagree with. All right. We love you guys. See you out there.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Two Filthy Nerds production.